So you might want to turn again to Psalm 128, although you might want to have a finger in Ephesians 1 a little later. So Psalm 128, and then also into Ephesians as well. So this morning we've come to this psalm, one of these psalms that would have been sung or recited by the pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. We're thinking about blessings, and the blessings of discipleship, or the blessings of those who fear the Lord, as it's headed in our church Bible. Blessings. The previous psalm, 127, we're told was written by Solomon, the wise king of Israel. And there he also describes blessings, depending on God, is what we thought about last time. And we divided that into three parts: fruitful service, family blessing, and faithful service as well. But today we're going to look further on this psalm that expands some of those themes, takes them a little further. So we're going to look at who receives blessings, what are the blessings, what's the purpose of the blessings? So who receives blessings, what are the blessings, and what are the purposes of the blessings? Let's begin, as we spend a little time going through this, with who receives the blessings. Well, if you look at Psalm 128, it's clear in verses 1 and 4. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And in verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So it's the idea of fearing God, or walking in his ways, walking in his ways. They will be the ones who receive blessing. Of course, as we've said many times previously, fearing God, isn't that fear that you might have a fear of heights or spiders or anything else? It's not an irrational fear. It's having that proper respect for God, God Almighty, the one who formed the universe, the God who is in control of all things. You should give respect there. There should be that natural fear. If a great person came in, a king, a president, there would be a certain deference to them because of their position. How much more should we fear God and have respect for who he is because of who he is? We should have that ultimate fear and respect. And we should walk in his ways. He is the one who is all-powerful and is in control of all things. Therefore, we should do as he says. We should walk in the ways that he has laid down for us. Throughout the Old Testament, we are told and directed to do so. One example we could take would be Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verses 12 and 13, which I'll just read for us. In Deuteronomy, we read, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock, in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. There will be blessing. And where do they come from? Where do all these blessings come from? It's because we show and listen to his judgments. We walk in them. We do what he calls us to do. If we keep our side of the covenant, God will certainly keep his. And the covenant, that's a relationship that God laid down with his people Israel. There was a call. They had to do what he said to follow him, but blessings would come. Now, as Christians, we know that we don't have to follow every jot and tittle of the law laid down in the Old Testament. We don't have to try and memorize the hundreds of instructions that we have to do. We can never hope to do that. We are told and taught that the law is laid down to show us the perfection of God, to show his rightness, his righteousness. We could never hope to fulfill that. It shows us our sinfulness. It shows us our weakness. It drives us to that pure God. In not meeting God's standard, we fall short. And in the Bible, that falling short is called sin. Sin deserves punishment. In the Old Testament, if you didn't keep some of the commands, a punishment would be laid down, this or that. But for serious ones, it would be death. And when we don't meet God's perfect standard, we face the punishment of death. This morning around the table, we've remembered the Lord Jesus on the cross dying for us. He was without sin, but he took that punishment on for us. He hung there, he died there for us, because we could not meet that perfect will of God. But through that death on the cross, God freed us from our sin through Jesus. We've received redemption. We've been bought back. Today, if that's not true for you, then you need to look to that. You need to look to Jesus. He offers that full forgiveness. He offers that new life in him, to live for him through his power. And you need to accept that if you haven't done so. So look to him. You can't rely on yourself, but you can rely on Christ. But this morning, if we are Christians, and through Christ we've received forgiveness, we receive blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We've received a wonderful thing, and in that short verse, Christ's name is repeated twice, underlining his importance. It's only through Christ we receive blessings. And if we follow him and we live in his way, we will have received those blessings. Jesus describes the blessings as being abundant. In Luke 6, there's a well-known verse where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In verses 37 and 38, he says, "Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." So follow God's example. "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." There's an abundance. God just doesn't bless it in a miserly way. There's a great abundance of blessing. Shaken together, pressed down, poured into a lap, running over. There's an abundance there. The blessings are dependent on his grace. It's not because we are good or worthy in ourselves that we receive blessings. It is because he gives it to us. It's not a simple menu or a roster that we can look up and say, "If I do this, I'll receive this. If I carry out this action, this will happen." It is God's mercy, God's grace to us. We look to him. We also need to be on our guard when we look at blessings and consider things that are blessings. Don't mistake material blessing in this life. Doesn't always mean that if we receive this thing or we grasp this thing, that it is necessarily meaning that we are blessed. We need to examine and think carefully. There's a danger of falling into a prosperity gospel idea that gaining more and more and more means receiving more and more of God's blessing. There's a danger there. We need to think carefully. Material things should be different to our relationship with God. In the book of Job, God allowed Job's wealth and success to be taken away from him to test and to show and to demonstrate that Job was a faithful servant looking to God. But though he lost all those things, he was looking to God that it would be the most important thing. And in time, of course, God blessed Job again. So likewise, do we examine ourselves routinely? Do we ask ourselves, do I fear God? Am I walking in his way? Am I doing what I should be doing? Do I compare my actions, my thoughts with his word? Do I pray and ask for forgiveness, for wisdom? Do I seek to live the way that he wants? Do I do that? Or am I still living as one who doesn't know the Savior, or appears as one who doesn't know the Savior? We need to seek to daily follow God. It's not something we do once and then life's easy. It's a struggle. as disciples, as followers of Christ. It's a daily struggle. It won't be easy. We will fall, we will fail, but we need to look to him. We need to depend upon him. We read, in Ephesians 2, verse 10, we read, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are called to walk daily, to do good works for him. Those works don't save us, but they are demonstrations of our faithfulness, our love for him, our desire to follow him, to fear him. So those who receive blessings, who are they? They are those who follow God, who do his will. Secondly, what are the blessings? Well, they're varied. We read in Deuteronomy of the variety of blessings there. They wouldn't all be exactly the same. There's a term that you may know in theology, the idea of common grace versus special grace. Common grace, the things that benefit all people, good governance, light, water, etc. But there's a special grace that's given to those who are trusting in God, those who are Christians. And if we are trusting in him, we will receive those. And even within those, there'll be a variety of blessings, some to one, some to another, in different ways, different measures. Not everyone's circumstances are the same. God is sovereign. He will decide who he gives the blessings to. Psalm 128 partly reiterates that. It reiterates Psalm 127. There's happiness with the food that we eat, happiness that we've received through our labor in the present time. We've worked for it, we've made it, we've prepared it ourselves. Maybe it's money we've saved up and we bought food or supported ourselves through a pension, through other means. But we receive our food, we can eat it and have that happiness, that joy, that simple enjoyment of what we have. In verse 3, it speaks of family blessings, wife and children. We receive those, we can enjoy them. Certain times they may not be exactly the same. When we're a child, it's different to an adult, or when we're older. But there'll be blessings there. People in biblical times lived in extended families. There would have always been people around. The table would have been groaning with people around it. Husband, wife, children, other older relatives, cousins, and so on. As a church, we should need to be a family as well, to extend our arms and to welcome in those around us, to be a blessing to them and to be blessed by them too. It's a challenge for us. Do we seek to be a family blessing for others? And in verse 3, this uses images of a fruitful vine and olive plants. And you might wonder why he chose those. Why a vine and olive plants? Of course, they're mentioned throughout Scripture. Jesus uses the images of a vine and olive plants. They would have been familiar to people in those times. In the passage you read in Deuteronomy, I don't know if you remember, noticed. But there, in verse 13, bless the fruit of the land, your grain, your new wine, so vineyards, and your oil, olive plants. They are included amongst all the animals as well, in the stock. Why were those things so special? Why is Israel, a nation, often used and described in those terms? Well, an olive tree and a vine provide materials, so many materials. They sustain us. They enhance life. To have a vine or an olive tree, or trees growing by your house, would give you food, give you drink, give you materials to use as a medicine, perhaps, give you fuel you can burn the wood. They are plants that are hardy, sturdy, they are useful, they are fruitful, they are nourishing. They're lovely images to think about. Wonderful if our friends could say that about us. Or our family could say that about us. Are we sturdy, hardy, useful, fruitful, and nourishing? Do we help? They might take time to tend and to work upon, but they are blessing. What other blessings might there be? Well, in Galatians 5:22, a well-known verse, it tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. As we are Christians, as we grow, as we know God's grace, then we should expect to grow in those fruit. We should be those who demonstrate them to others around us. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. To have those growing in us is a blessing. We may not naturally be long-suffering. We may have a short temper. But through time, through God's grace, through his blessing, he develops those things, those qualities in us. We may not naturally have joy in our hearts, but he will grow that. We can call upon him. We can ask that we might receive those in greater measure. Again, what wonderful things to be reminded of. And then in Ephesians, we read the verses that we went through earlier. In there, it tells us so many things that we received. Blessings in heavenly places. So many blessings. We know that we were chosen, verse 4. We were adopted. We were forgiven. We are built up. In verse 8, it says, he made us to abound, to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. We are built up. We are edified. We gain understanding through his grace. We are promised communion with him. We are given the Holy Spirit as a seal and guarantee of our inheritance. Great thing to have with us, that counselor, that comforter. We receive that blessing. These things should encourage us. They should be something that brings us up when we're downcast, when we're hard-pressed, when we're going through hard times. We can look and remind ourselves from his word of the blessings we receive. The psalm also calls us to pray for the place we live in. Verse 5 of 128, we read, "The Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life." He's calling for God to bless us from his special holy place, but also calls for the blessing upon that place that it may continue for all the days, that we may always enjoy that blessing. And we can pray for our own land in that respect, that we might see good things continue. In verse 6, where he asks for, prays that you may see your children's children. Not all of us will have that blessing, but we can look forward to an extension of God's mercy upon this world. And we can expect there that goodness would continue. None of us would want our grandchildren to face difficult, hard, horrible times or to live through them. But we can call for God's mercy and blessing on those times, that the times may be good. The door of salvation will still remain open. So the blessings are many, are numerous, they're lavish. And then thirdly, what's the purpose of the blessings? Why are they sent? Well, in Ephesians 1, three times we get repeated indication. So verse 8, the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 12, that we who were first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 14, the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We receive blessings for God's glory. It's to his honor, to his glory, that we receive things. And that's a wonderful encouragement that we can take and look at these things and think it glorifies our God. They are for our benefit as well. We receive them as gifts because of his mercy. We can enjoy them. We wouldn't decline a gift from a family member or a friend. We wouldn't fail to use it. How much more with God's good gifts should we use them and benefit for our benefit? They benefit others. They should be a blessing to others too. We can share them with family and friends, with the church and others we meet. And then going back to God's glory again, we can point them to God as this means of grace. So the psalm, short though it be, what can the implications be for our lives? What can it tell us about how we live daily? Well, again, do we examine the way we walk? Do we think about what we are doing? Do we seek correction? Do we seek guidance? Do we study? Do we seek to study and to reflect on his word? Do we recognize God's graciousness to us and the blessings that he's given to us and the way he's helped us? Are we thankful? Do we praise him for what he has done? Do we tell others about the great God, the one who loves us, the one who was yesterday, today, and forever, and will be so? Do we give him praise? And do we pray for further blessing and equipping that we might further serve and worship him? Do we look to that hand to give us more, knowing that we praise him? So this morning, we are blessed greatly. We receive greatly from our great God. We should praise him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a gracious, loving God who does not treat us as we deserve, but through your mercy, through Christ, we receive the lavish blessing in the heavenly places, blessing upon blessing. Lord, help us to recognize them, to give you thanks for them. Help us to know how to use them for your glory and for the service of others. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord, to ask whether we are indeed walking in your way, to challenge ourselves to reflect on that calling to be your disciples, to be your witnesses where we are. Lead us on, forgive us when we fail you. Refresh us, reuse us, rededicate us, we pray, that in all things we might give honor and glory to our Lord. We ask this now through his name. Amen. Let's turn to our closing hymn in 582. In full and glad surrender, I give myself to thee, thine utterly and only, and evermore to thee.